Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. How are you doing today on this Saturday? I hope you're all doing well. I spoke to Sister Mary Rackmeyer just about an hour ago. Her husband Harvey, who was a member of Grace Church, was supposed to be having heart surgery yesterday, Friday, at 5 a.m. They didn't do it yesterday, and they performed surgery today at 3 o'clock Saturday. Thank God the procedure was a success, and he is resting in the ICU unit, intensive care unit. He is there resting comfortably, and we hope and pray he will be on the mend. So let us keep our dear brother Harvey Rackmeyer in prayer. And there's so much to pray about. Well, we have tomorrow Sunday school. Children are coming, young people are coming, teachers are going to be instructing. We're going to pray for Sunday school. We have our church service tomorrow. And so much going on. The Lord is really moving. The Lord is really touching so many lives. And we cannot but acknowledge these are the Lord's marvelous doings in our midst. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we beseech you. We cry out to you. We turn to you. We follow hard after you. We do so because we are your people. And your Spirit, which resides in us, leads us directly to you. Now, Lord, we pray for our dear brother, Harvey Rackmeyer. I pray, Lord, that you be with him there in Albany Med, where they performed the surgery. We thank you for the doctors. We thank you for the nurses. We thank you for the anesthesiologists. We thank you for the surgeons. We thank you for all those consulted on this matter. We thank you, Lord, because our brother is resting. The surgery was a success, and his wife is relieved. And so are we. Bless our brother. The Bible says that you give your beloved sleep. Let him rest tonight, Lord. We pray. We turn to you, Lord, on behalf of our Sunday school teachers and the children that they minister to and the young people who come to learn. Bless your Sunday school, Lord. It's your Sunday school. The teachers are yours. The young people are yours. The children especially are yours. Suffer the little children that come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Bless our Sunday school. Bless our Sunday service tomorrow, Lord. Bless those who are going to sing and those who have musical specials, and bless those who are going to share the exhortation. Sister Hillary Cool will be sharing tomorrow an exhortation. And we pray, Father God, for the preached word, and we pray for every visitor and every member that will show up, that they may be ministered to. We lift up to you Cody and John, our two newest born-again believers, a miracle from God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you in advance for what you will do tomorrow. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. We have been studying the Church of Rome, the 16th chapter, to be more precise. And we've been looking at the members of this church and their relationship to the Apostle Paul and how he loves them and how they love him. And it's a love fest between this great servant of Christ and the Lord's people. We have been looking at another power couple, Andronicus and Junia. Andronicus is the man, Junia is the woman. So let's read Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. And after doing so, we will begin the exposition of God's word. Romans 16, turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 16. We're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to read all the way down to verse number 7. Seven short verses.
Romans 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me.
So we're focused on verse 7, salute, again, espasomai. Greet, and salute, which basically is the same Greek word. Greet and salute. Hug and kiss for me, Andronicus and Junia. Now, we looked at the word Andronicus, or the proper noun, and it's a Greek name. This is a Jew. This is, Paul says, they are my kinsmen, not kinsmen, but kinsmen. These are my kinsmen. And if they're his kinsmen, it means they're kin. Now, not close kin, as let's say cousins or second cousins or third cousins. No, they're my kinsmen, which Paul is alluding to the fact that they are also of Jewish stock. Now, we all know that we proceed from one race. The Bible says, and let me read it to you. Turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17. For those, church, who advocate that there are different races, that is just utter foolishness. There's only one race, the human race. Only one race. And it says in Acts 17:26, and God have made of one blood, which means one pair. Now remember, Eve came out of Adam's side. So God have made out of one blood, one couple, one pair, one husband and wife, all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth, and God has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their territorial habitation. So there's only one human race, many ethnicities. Now there's a false teaching going around our churches today, our evangelical churches today, which is making inroads, and not just in our evangelical churches, but also it's making inroads in our public school system, and it's making inroads in our courthouses and in our military. It's called critical race theory, which is garbage. And it basically teaches that the white man is bad, and the white man needs to pay for his sins, and blah, 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 blah. And all of that is just demonic. Everybody's bad. All have sinned, says the Bible. All. All. And we can have a discussion about race in the United States, the history of race, the history of immigration, the history of slavery. We can have that. We can have a very expanded discussion. And I do know that critical race theory does not have a leg to stand on. First of all, it's not critical because they do not allow for critical thinking. We don't need to worry about the races because there's only one race, and the Bible does not leave us to theorize. The Bible is clear and true. So there is no critical race theory. There's the Bible, the testimony of Scripture. And again, Acts 17:26, that from one couple we all proceed. One race, many ethnicities. Jesus said in his great sermon, and nation shall rise up against nation. In Greek, and ethnos shall rise up against ethnos. He's talking about the nations and their different ethnicities, but there's one human race. So, they are Paul's kinsmen. They are of the same ethnicity. They are of the same stock. They are Jewish or Hebrew like Paul. So, they're fellow Jews. So, Andronicus, whose Greek name means conqueror, and Junia, whose name means belonging to Juno, her name is Latin. It comes from the Latin language, influenced by Rome. The name Junia means belonging to Juno, and we do know that when the children of Israel were in a state of rebellion against the Lord, as revealed in Jeremiah 7:18. Let me read Jeremiah 7:18 for you. It says, the children gather wood. This is God speaking to his people. The children, my children, gather wood, and the fathers, the patriarchs, the matriarchs, kindle fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven in this context is an Assyrian Babylonian goddess named Ishtar. Now, all throughout the nations, all the pagan nations, all the nations who had departed from God, they all had a queen of heaven. All of these queens of heaven were ultimately paganized by the Roman Catholic Church, and Mary is the queen of heaven. Mary, the Roman Catholic Mary, not the scriptural Mary, not the biblical Mary, not the Protestant Mary, but the Roman Catholic Church's Mary is the new version of the Queen of Heaven. And this is why Roman Catholics are encouraged and taught to pray to her, to bypass Jesus and to go to Mary, the mother of God. What blasphemy. So Paul says, I want you to salute this Jewish couple whose parents went astray. The parents of Andronicus were influenced and were enamored with Greek culture, and so they named his son the Conqueror. And Junia's parents, who were Jewish, were enamored by Roman culture, and they devoted their daughter to Juno, the Queen of Heaven, a modern-day version of the Assyrian-Babylonian Queen of Heaven, Ishtar. But God saved them. God saved Andronicus and Junia because he says in Romans 16, let's go back there to Romans 16, he says, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, or my kinsmen. I keep saying kinsmen, but it's kinsmen. My kinsmen. Now, today we want to look at the fact that they are Paul's fellow prisoners. They're his fellow prisoners. In other words, this is a power couple. These two individuals, this dynamic duel, if you will, were evangelistic, were missionary in nature. And that landed them in jail. They were cellmates of the Apostle Paul. Where? We're not told. When? We're not told. But they were so dangerous to the establishment. They were so dangerous to the Roman Empire. They were so dangerous and so threatening to the Roman government that they arrested them and threw them in prison, and they landed in the same cell where Paul was. They were fellow prisoners. The interesting thing about this word here, fellow prisoner, it has to do with not just any type of fellow prisoner, but the Greek word, see, soon means together, and that's where we translate the word soon together, meaning fellow, because they were together. But the word prisoner is akmelalotos. And this word means not just any kind of prisoner. They weren't arrested because they were accused of theft. They weren't arrested because they were accused of not paying their taxes. They weren't arrested because they were political adversaries to the Roman government. No, they were arrested because they were viewed as prisoners of war. You see, my brothers and sisters, Satan knows that there's a war going on. Many Christians don't know that there's a war going on. Many Christians are oblivious to the fact that we belong to the kingdom of light, and Satan leads the kingdom of darkness. And so Paul says, listen, they were my cellmates. We were all labeled prisoners of war because we are waging war against the powers of darkness. They were in jail because they were militant for Jesus. They were soldiers of the cross. They were amazing. Think about it. A woman, a junior. You know, when you think of Priscilla, she laid down her neck. She was willing to give up her life so that Paul could escape. This one here lands in jail with Paul. And listen, jail was harsh. They did not serve you three square meals a day like they do today. They didn't have cable, and they didn't assign you a lawyer. And tough luck if you didn't have a lawyer. Tough luck. If somebody didn't bring you food, if your friends and relatives didn't bring you food to the jail, you starved. They provided nothing.
This is why Jesus was so much into prison ministry. Jesus in Matthew 25 says, I was in jail and you visited me not. Why was a visit so important? Well, because family and friends brought prisoners their food. No visit, no eats. That's the way it was. So there were prisoners of war. They were viewed as enemies, not of the state, but enemies of Satan. Satan targeted them and had them thrown into prison because they were what? They were dangerous to his kingdom. Think about that. Andronicus and Junia, a couple, dangerous. So dangerous, Satan had them arrested. Satan viewed them as fellow combatants or opposing combatants. So they were fellow prisoners. Then the Bible says that this Andronicus and Junius, who are of note among the apostles. Now, the apostles of Christ were all Jewish. Peter and his brother Andrew were Jewish. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were Jewish. Then you have Philip and Bartholomew, who were also Jewish. You have Thomas and Matthew, Thaddeus, and James, the son of Alphaeus. And you have Simon the Canaanite, last but not least, Matthias, and of course, the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul. Andronicus and Junius were of note among the apostles. What does that word mean, of note? Well, the word note in Greek means to be well thought of, to be distinguished, to be considered eminent, notable, illustrious, renowned. All of the apostles knew about Andronicus and Junia. They knew that they were great soldiers of the cross. And every one of the apostles was well acquainted with this power couple. Think about that. The leaders of the church, the disciples of Christ, those early 12, those 12 magnificent apostles of the Lord, they knew very well and had in high esteem and considered them illustrious and notable, this couple. And then finally, it says concerning them, who also were in Christ before me. Paul says, listen, they came to the Lord before I did. They've been in this thing for a long time. They've got lots of mileage. They've been representing the Lord for decades. They have not wavered in the faith. You can punch them. You can beat them. You can put them in shackles. You can put them in chains. And that sister Junia and that man Andronicus, you can't break them. You can't make them cry uncle. They're in it for the long haul. They're in it forever. They are solid followers of Christ. They were in it before me. They've been serving the Lord longer than I have. And they are illustrious, distinguished, eminent, renowned, notable, and they are well thought of by the original 12. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that if there are some power couples listening to me tonight, whether you be a Priscilla and Aquila type of power couple or an Andronicus and Junia type power couple, I would pray in the Lord you would be in it for the long haul. May God bless you tonight. I'm so looking forward to our time together tomorrow at church. With great anticipation, I can't wait to see what the Holy Spirit has in store for us tomorrow, October the 16th. May God richly bless you. May God give you rest. And may God favor you each and every day. God bless.
Later.